This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
Well, welcome back. I'm Toby Halligan, joined by co-host David Beckett. And Dave, there's been a lot going on in the world of women's sport. The Matildas have been kicking goals. Hey, they've been kicking.
Yeah, okay. I see where you're coming from. I hear you loud and clear.
It's a pity radio is mainly an audio medium, because if only listeners could have heard your facial expression, like, oh God, we're doing this, are we?
Well, as the host of Joy's Summer Sports Show, Toby, this is a very serious matter to me, so I'm happy this is brought up in The Informer, but Sam Kerr is an absolute beast. She is taking the world by storm. Yep. She becomes the first person in Australian colours to ever kick four goals in a World Cup game.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that objectively that's just an astonishing
effort. I like how Jamaica pre-game said, "We don't fear Australia." That's what was their terms out of the Jamaican camp. Well, I guess they're not going to be sleeping for the next 4 years now. Just seeing each of Sam Kerr's goals.
Of Sam Kerr, yes. Doing scissor kicks. Yeah.
But Sam Kerr just tops off what has been a massive, like, last 12 months in women's sport. Like, we've had Ash Barty win the French Open just recently. Mm-hmm. We've had the women's basketball team. Yep. They came silver to the US, and the US win everything to do with basketball. And also, we took out the Cricket World Cup in the women's division as well. So, just amazing.
And just astonishing achievements, but with a lot of them as well. Like, it really seems like many of them just didn't get the kind of media coverage they deserved. Like, I remember the Ash Barty game. Like, there were some headlines the day after. But the day after, there was also a headline where, like, the world number 14 in 2002 had walked out of the game and said he didn't think it was a good game. And that was a news story? Like, it seems like journalists often trawl for just, frankly, shitty negativity.
Yeah.
Around women's sport.
It is. And Ash Barty deserves the credit she deserves. And also with Sam Kerr, Ash Barty is the first Australian as well to win a Grand Slam in Australian colours in the last 8 years. So, I don't know. There is some newspapers that cover it very well and some media that cover it very badly.
Just an example of that. This is a moment that occurred after, I think it was, which game? I think this might have been
the Brazilian game.
So this is Sam Kerr being interviewed directly after the game. Just have a listen to this.
Sam, an amazing reaction from a team under a lot of pressure. You must be immensely proud as captain.
Oh, I'm so proud of the girls. We knew we were in it at halftime, and, you know, there was a lot of critics talking about us, but we're back, so suck on that one.
Well, awesome.
That is fantastic.
Is that not the most Australian thing you can do? But so many people afterwards were kind of down on it. I think that's garbage. No. I just think that's total garbage.
And what I love about Sam Kerr as well is there's not one bad word spoken about Sam Kerr. The Australian camp love her. The world of soccer adore her. Mm-hmm. And she is an absolutely fantastic player and a great representative of our
absolutely.
Country.
And good luck to her and all the rest of the girls over there. We've been trying, by the way, to arrange interviews, but a lot of the best female commentators when it comes to women's soccer are obviously over in Europe, so we'll try to bring you something related to that next week. But we do have a soccer player on the show. Look, for a long time, I think, and this is true, you know, as an observer, you'll be conscious of this, of sport, David, there's been quite a gap between elite codes in the sense that there are quite a few out elite female athletes, and you really can't say that for a number of elite male sports.
Like, no, not at all, no.
Especially the footy codes.
Like, yeah, well, they say team sports even rarer, and so we've got a great story coming up soon with Andy Brennan.
Yeah, absolutely. And Andy is the first openly gay professional soccer player here in Australia. He played for the Jets for a number of seasons. And David sat down and had a delightful interview with Andy. And here that is now.
So last month you took steps to publicly come out as gay, becoming Australia's first professional soccer player to come out. What has the reception been like?
Really good, to be honest. It's been amazingly supportive through, you know, the football side of it, family side of it, friends. So, yeah, I couldn't be happier, to be honest.
So the words "I'm gay" are the two words that have become, you know, such a pivotal part in your life. How do you feel about finally, you know, being comfortable to say those words out loud?
Now I feel great, to be honest. I feel actually kind of, you know, kind of lifts me up a bit when I'm saying it. But it has taken a long time to get to that point to be able to kind of say it, you know.
So was there an actual moment over the last 10 years where you started thinking, okay, the only way that I can improve is maybe by telling people? What was the fears like through your head in that stages of actually getting to that realisation where you actually have to tell somebody?
Yeah, it's so scary, to be honest. It was probably, I mean, obviously the people I told, like your friends that you built this relationship up for so long, some of them I've known literally my whole life. I can't remember a time I didn't know them. And then suddenly I'm telling them something, and in my mind I'm thinking this could potentially end our friendship, could change our friendship, whether it was straight away or whether it was over time. You know, it was really scary. It was something I was really worried about. But looking back, it was just so silly to be scared because everyone was just so positive and so happy and really couldn't care because, you know, they were, you know, we had a friendship and there was a reason we had a friendship. There wasn't anything they were getting from it. It was just, you know, we're friends. So through that, they were just happy for me to be happy, and that was it.
Who did you choose to tell first?
So I spoke to, for my friends, I spoke to a guy called Deck, and it was on a Saturday morning at a cafe. We sat down, and then I talked to him through the week saying, like, mate, I need to catch up with you. And I don't usually say that, like, I don't usually aren't so insisting. And so he knew something was up. And then, yeah, at the cafe, and when I told him, he was, yeah, really happy for me and gave me a nice hug, which was really nice. And I remember telling another friend that same day, which was a little different because Deck I was confident it'd be fine with, but then the other mate, Jez, he was, you know, I was properly scared.
Why did you choose Deck and Jez? Why them?
I know that Deck, I've known for a long time, he was very, very supportive. So I knew that he would be fine with it. I knew that he would support no matter what. Jez's wasn't as planned. Like, I wasn't planning on telling anyone else that day, but I just happened to be spending time with him. So he would have been one that I would have been quite worried about. But, yeah, just it got to the point where I kind of couldn't not say anything because there was evidently something so wrong the way I was behaving.
And talk about the way you were behaving. What was their observations? Were they noticing something was...
Yeah, absolutely.
What was that behaviour?
I was sitting there, I remember, outside with Jez, and we were all at a barbie, so there's about 10 people around. And I'm pretty confident. I'll talk to everyone. I'll be concentrating on what they're saying. We'd have a nice chat. But I just couldn't really hold a conversation. I was looking up from the distance, like tapping my feet, like I looked nervous and just, yeah, I was a wreck, to be honest. Like, I just could not get this thought off my mind that, like, I really want to tell him, but I can't tell him. What will he think? What will he say? What's going to happen after? Like, there was so much going through my mind to the point where I kind of just snapped and just thought, nah, like, it would be fine. Like, I don't know, but you have to say something. You can't just keep bouncing about in your own head and all these possibilities. Like,
how do they take hearing that you were struggling for so long?
Well, I mean, obviously it was on my mind a lot. It was always on my mind. I was always thinking back to it, the things that would, you know, make me think of it. But it wasn't something where I was, you know, for the past 10 years I was depressed or I was thinking of anything like that. But for some of them, they were pretty upset because they were thinking, well, for so long they've, you know, carried this thought or a burden or whatever you want to call it. So some of them were a little upset and were, you know, yeah, upset that I couldn't have come to them earlier and talked to them about it, I think, yeah.
So you told your friends and family last year, and you publicly came out just last month.
Yeah.
When did you tell your club?
I told them, so within 3 months, past 3 months, I've told a few people, the coaching staff, the people behind the scenes, and a few of the players. And their responses have been very, very good. I mean, the coach was really good, really supportive, and he was, he encouraged me to just be myself. He could have easily, and I'm sure there would be scenarios where there could be coaches that would kind of say, look, you don't need to tell anyone or you don't need to say anything, but he, you know, just backed me for who I was and said, look, if it's going to make you feel better, which he thought it would, then I should just be open and tell who I want to tell and just do it the way I want to do it. So that was really encouraging. Obviously, if it was, you know, the other way, I would have been a bit worried about how to go about it. But, you know, that was part of the reason why I chose to go to Galley this season was because I had felt, you know, by knowing them and knowing some people there, that it was probably one of the better clubs to do it all.
So you spend a lot of time at football clubs. Getting that positive reaction must mean, like, so good for you. Like, the reaction, like, do you share that that's a part of your world, basically, your time you spend at the clubs?
Yeah, I mean, I spend a lot of time there. Just at Green Gully alone, I spend, like, what, 4 or 5 nights a week training. So it is a lot of time. So if that didn't go well, it wouldn't be good. But, yeah, again, it was really supportive. And not only there, you know, back in my home town in Hobart, with South Hobart, you know, there's been a lot of messages floating through from them, you know, supportive, and other clubs as well that I've been to. So, I mean, there's been no negative feedback from any of the clubs I've been to, and a lot of people reaching out saying, you know, congratulations and well done, which, you know, is nice to hear. And it obviously be good to get to a point where it wasn't needed at all, but yeah, it's obviously really supportive, and it's good for other people to see who might be feeling the same thing, that the support, for me at least, has been really, really good.
Do you see yourself being a role model in the future?
Look, it's not something I want to be. It's not something I'm trying to be. I just, through this whole process, the reason I did it was so that I would feel the most comfortable. And obviously, you probably heard by now that, yeah, I do. I feel very comfortable. And through other people hearing the story and hearing, you know, how it is for me now, and if they are feeling, you know, similar things, it's really good for them to hear, because, you know, they might then get a bit more confidence, and they might go out and tell one person, and that might kind of roll on to telling more people, and then being open and hopefully happy for themselves.
To chat about your soccer career, do you think that this took a toll on your performance on the pitch at all?
I don't know. It's obviously difficult to say. It's I really don't know. I tried pretty hard to separate the two of them. Obviously, when I was playing and training, it was something that you know, I obviously focused solely on that. I didn't focus too much on my sexuality until, you know, not long ago. But, yeah, you know, I don't really know if there's anything deeper and underlying, but, yeah, it's kind of hard to tell.
Your story coming out publicly in the world of sport, where male gay athletes are few and far between, other than benefiting yourself, what do you hope to get out of it?
I mean, obviously it'd be great to get to a point where everyone can just be who they are and not have to feel that anyone else's thoughts will dictate or should dictate what they want to do. So what I mean by that is that they by people's reactions or people fearing people's reactions, it shouldn't stop them from being who they are. So ultimately that would be, you know, a good place to get to, but I'm not pioneering at the moment for that to be the case, but I just think it's important for me to tell my story and for people to hear it, and people that are thinking maybe the same thing or feeling the same thing, then they can get a bit of confidence from it. Because I have received a lot of messages on, you know, Twitter and Instagram from people that have been really happy to read my story, and they've said that it's given them a lot of confidence, and it's been really big for them. So, I mean, that makes me feel really good about it.
And your story obviously will have an impact on other professional athletes who might be also hiding their sexuality. What advice could you give to them?
Just to be themselves. I mean, this certainly isn't a call out for people to come out and you know, join me and whatever. It's literally just that I've come out and I couldn't be happier. It might be that people are gay and they don't want to come out and tell everyone. That was the best way for me to feel comfortable. It might be that that they want to keep it between closer group of my friends, and that's fine. It would literally just be if it's okay to be who they want to be, whether it be publicly or you know, in within yourself and within your friends and family.
There's some homophobic slurs that get thrown around sometimes around sporting clubs, and they probably don't mean to hurt anybody. But have you had any experiences at some of your previous clubs where those words, you know, your ears have pricked up and have caused any sort of negative reaction from you?
I think you're right with that. I think that people do say these things and really don't understand the weight that they have. I think that people just, you know, throw them out there and they don't realise that it can have a huge impact on people. Me personally, I have heard those comments and I have heard those kinds of slurs. But I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. It was just a part of it. I'd heard it so much before that it didn't really affect me. Obviously, it did create this thought in my head that it isn't normal to be gay and playing sport. So it's obviously not a good thing to hear. It'd be good if there wasn't any of that. And I've actually spoken to a player that I did hear it, and I said to them, like, look, you might not know, but that saying that kind of stuff does have an impact on people, and you don't really know where people are at in their lives and what they're feeling or thinking. And when I said that to him, he said he was kind of shocked, and he is like, oh, my God, like, I, to be honest, like, I didn't even know I was saying it. I didn't even realise I was saying it. And it was in the heat of a moment of a game. And, yeah, it was something that he kind of was sad that he said, he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it by like that. And I just said, look, I'm fine with it. Like, it's not going to hurt me, but someone else might hear it and it might hurt them. And it is really important that, you know, you be careful what you say, because you don't know what people are thinking or feeling.
Thanks for joining us on The Informer.
No worries. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.